little better.
That's like hitting a brick wall.
I know.
Oh, hello there. Hey, it's the Lesbian Lounge with Denise. It's been a while, hasn't it? Yes. Yes, it's been a while for a Lesbian Lounge from My Lesbian Radio. But this is the time. Because this is a big week. I want to send a big birthday wish out to Donna. A big shout out. Who is turning 39 tomorrow again. Sure as shit, she'll be spending it with family and friends, and there'll be a ton of good food. I wish I could be there with you, bud, but I can't. So, happy birthday. Also, you guys, send her a happy birthday wish on Facebook. Tell her I sent you. How's everybody doing? I had quite a time in Amsterdam, but I am back now. Oh, yeah, I'm back. I don't even know what to say about Amsterdam, except this.
Well, you should be coming out pretty soon, dude. How much do you smoke?
This will be a little demonstration of that. Listen up. That was my skull! I'm so wasted!
Oh, yeah, that's about right. That is about right. That is what it felt like pretty much every day in Amsterdam. I don't know. I decided that I should have a new theme song maybe for being there.
Mr. Bombastic. We order some bombastic, romantic, fantastic lover. Mr. Lover, lover.
Little Shaggy. Oh, God. So, anyways, here's the thing. We're back, all of us, in one piece. So, welcome. Welcome to you, listeners. Again, it's Denise, Lesbian Lounge, My Lesbian Radio. Also playing Wednesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern on rainbowradio.fm. So, wherever you're listening from, welcome. Welcome. If you're listening from the mylesbianradio.podbean.com feed, hello. Hello. If you're listening from Rainbow Radio, hello. I'm in recovery mode, so this is going to be probably a pretty fucked up show. Oh, my God. You know that we went to Amsterdam. It was Gemma, my wife Gemma's 30th birthday, and what a blast we had. We stayed at a fantastic hotel called the Hotel Arena. It was a massive hotel with a restaurant and a bar and a nightclub. All right on the premises. It was just incredible. It was really great. The rooms were fabulous. They had separate living rooms. Our bathroom had a double bathroom, two sinks, two showers. It was just amazing. The bed. Oh my God, huge king size bed. I don't normally talk about this kind of shit, but I gotta tell you, that was the hands down single best mattress I've ever slept on. Honest to God, it was like magic. I would go to sleep with aches and pains from walking around Amsterdam all day and wake up renewed, no aches and pains. It was fabulous. What an incredible night's sleep. It was just amazing. So my wife made a detailed map of the area with a color-coded key that included the coffee shops, the smoke shops, yep, all kinds of restaurants, especially ones that had vegetarian meals for her, and all the attractions that we were planning on doing. So we lived and died by this little map. It was perfect. We got in. We had a vegetarian lunch when we arrived at a little place called Peter and Luke, which I think translates to better fun. So that was a really cool place. And I have to tell you, the Dutch are so wonderful. You know, we struggled with the menu in that place, and the woman like tried her best. Her absolute best to convey what the specials were, what they had. So we basically had a vegetarian lunch, and it was incredible. It was really, really good. Everything was super fresh. I had I had a frittata with a quinoa and rice salad on the side. It was really Angie, Hazel's sister Angie came with us. She had the 6-grain bread that was spread with like a hummus, cheese, paprika type of spread, and they had feta and dates. I can't even explain. The food was fantastic. So that was a great way to start. And then we made our way to a coffee shop called, ironically, Los Angeles. It was a little creepy and a little seedy. It was nothing like the coffee shop that we had been to on our first trip to Amsterdam. That one was called Media. But we just were looking for the closest one to us. So we went to Los Angeles, which was basically maybe like the size of a living room. And it had a counter where a gentleman worked, and then a pool table where all men were stoned and playing pool. So it was a little weird. We walked in, didn't quite know what to do or how to order, but the gentleman, I think, could see the confusion in my eyes, and he handed me a menu where we picked out a lovely bit called, I think it was called, if I'm not mistaken, Haze. Yeah, it was called Haze. It was 20 euros. We got quite a clump, nice big fat bud, and he gave us the papers for free, and we were out of there. I mean, it was so weird being the only girls in there. It was really creepy. So we bought our bud, and we hit the road, and we walked to a pretty cool pub, and we sat down, rolled one up, smoked it, and then staggered back to the hotel for dinner and drinks because we had some friends coming in that evening. So that was fun. I have to tell you, the food at the hotel, too, was just absolutely incredible. Everything from their appetizers and starters to their main dishes, fantastic. And their drinks, I have never seen a gin and tonic in a glass this big. It was just absolutely massive. And that's really what you want on vacation. It was an oversized everything. So that was pretty cool. So the six of us met up. We had dinner. We went to bed. And then we got up kind of bright and early. And we did the Heineken experience, which is something that we did not do the first time. But this time we actually made it there. And we got in before the line got really long, so that was good. But it is really, it's not so much, it is a tour, but it really is an experience. Like, there is so much to do. You kind of, the factory, I don't believe, is producing there anymore. But it is the original Heineken factory, so there's a lot of really cool things there. And they've made it so that you can experience it pretty much from beginning to end. You see all the massive vats. You see the malt, the barley, the hops. You get to smell, touch, taste. There were big screens that you went into. It was reminding me of Disney World, where you went into a little tiny theater and everybody stood up and you kind of held on to a railing in front of you on about six different levels. And then there's a big screen projection of what it's like to make the beer from beginning to end. And I mean, complete with heat lamps, water kind of sprayed in your face. You know, the platform moves and jiggles as the bottles go through the factory, so you actually feel like a bottle of beer. It was really, really interesting and fun. And then, of course, you got your freebies. You got a couple. You had a very entertaining bartender who explained exactly how to drink a beer, and then actually how to pour the beer, and then how to savor it and how to taste it, which was pretty interesting. So I gotta say, it was really quite the experience. It was exactly the Heineken experience, and that was super fun. And then we stopped at Cake Under My Pillow, which originally was where we stayed on our first trip. It's a B&B, but on the bottom it's a cake shop with amazing cakes. So it was Gemma's birthday. We had birthday cake there. Everybody got a different kind of cake and just kind of passed it around. Every single thing was so good. I got a standard piece of cheesecake, but Hazel got some blueberry thing, Charmaine got some kind of wild berry thing, Angie got some kind of banana chocolate thing, and Gemma's was kind of like a vanilla cake with some kind of cherry fondant on it. It was just absolutely incredible. So it was really good to get back there and see the place that we originally started off at on our first trip. Nothing's changed. The girls are still super pleasant. The atmosphere is great. So that was cool. It was kind of not a miserable day. It was like that misty rain that just doesn't seem to stop. So we dealt with that, which is not, you know, it's not a big deal. We were prepared. So what we thought would be a good idea would to do the canal boat tour, because then you're inside, you're covered. So we did the canal boat tour, which is nice because it's about an hour and a half. Maybe not, maybe about an hour. But you're off your feet, you're sitting, and, you know, you're traveling down all the intricate canals of Amsterdam, and the guy is telling you about each thing, and it's really a good way to see a lot of the city. So that was pretty cool. I got to say, that was fun. And then after the canal boat, it kind of lets you off right in the vicinity of another big area where there's the Holland Casino and the Hard Rock and some shops and stuff. So we went to the Hard Rock and we celebrated with all those big drinks that you always see pictures of. What we did was when we got there, we decided we were going to we just gave Gemma the drink menu and she, you know, to pick out her drink. Well, she decided because it was her birthday, she was going to pick out what everybody was drinking. So she ordered all our drinks and I think mine was called an Island Club and it was fantastic. It was ginger, vanilla, tequila. I don't even know, but it was fantastic. She had a watermelon margarita. Hazel had some kind of triple berry margarita. She had made Kate drink something blue. I don't really know what it was. Charmaine got a double fruity kind of drink. It was really fun. We had a really good time there. And the food is always super good, even though you got to wait a little bit. It was a good way to celebrate a birthday right there. Because I think Gemma was riding a really good buzz from the Heineken factory, because I don't know that many of us are beer drinkers, so we were given our freebies to her. So she was loaded up on Heinies, and then we went on the canal cruise, so she kind of leveled off, but then we topped it off with big birthday drinks at the Hard Rock, so that was awesome. We were so full, I think, that we wandered back, got back to the hotel. Everybody had to take naps and kind of regroup, came down, had drinks again at the hotel. The next day, though, Gemma got up early, and her and our friend Charmaine went to the Anne Frank House, which she said they got there about an hour before it opened, and they still waited in line for 90 minutes. So that seems to be like the hottest ticket in town to go see Anne Frank's annex. Brutal at that hour of the morning, but they did it, and that was one of the things that Gemma really wanted to do, is to see that. Afterwards, they came back, we had breakfast, and they were going to go, her and Hazel were going to go to the Van Gogh Museum, so Angie and I went with them, and we went to Museum Park, where we noticed a snake of a line that wrapped around an entire block. Little did we know that was the line for the Van Gogh, so instead of wasting another 2 hours in line, we walked through the museum. I think it's kind of like the Welcome Center, so we walked through that, and then we ended up going to the Amsterdam Zoo, which was not on the list, but a surprise. And it really ended up being a super fun time. I mean, there was every animal you could possibly think of. There was lemurs, there was monkeys, there were tortoises, there were gorillas, there were pelicans, there were flamingos, there was water buffalo, donkeys, camels, elephants, giraffes were amazing. I mean, we seriously saw just about every animal on the planet. And they were all, and lions, tigers, they were all out and about. Like, they weren't hiding where you couldn't see them, or you were like, oh, man, nobody's out to play. Everybody was out. So we got some great video and pictures. And then we met up with Charmaine and Kate, who went, they were going to the Jewish markets that ended up being closed. Because what we didn't know originally when we got there was that that weekend in Amsterdam was the King's Day celebration of Holland, and it's a big deal that starts at midnight on Sunday and it goes through midnight on Monday, and the whole city center kind of like shuts down. No bicycles, no cars, everybody walks, and it's a massive street festival. So we had to get orange. Everybody wears orange. We didn't know. We bought our orange hats and shirts. So Sunday night, Kate and Charmaine came back to London. And we stayed on, and we just ended up having a quiet dinner in our orange, because even everybody at the hotel, people that were at the hotel were in orange. They were, after dinner, they had kind of were anticipating the crowd, so they were changing their restaurant area into an extension of the nightclub. Like, I guess they thought it was going to be that busy. We knew we had, not an early flight, but we had to be out of there before noon, before things got a little crazy. So we just had dinner and drinks, and we got up and had breakfast and then headed out to the airport, which is, Schiphol Airport is amazing too. It's got a casino in it, and like, you could definitely spend a day just at the airport. So basically, the thing of it is that there was no way to get through that bud. It was like, you know, you can't take it with you. So I kind of overdid it, because it's just like, you want to smoke it. It was really funny. One night we were, our last night, Angie and I were outside, and we were kind of toking up, and there was a guy sitting out there, and he asked me if I had papers, and I said, you can have the whole thing, because, you know, I'm never going to get through this bud. In fact, do you want the bud? And he was like, are you kidding me? I leave tomorrow morning. I can't even get through my own. And he opened up his hand, and he had a whole bunch of packets of weed, too. So you can't even give this stuff away. But anyways, I guess like everybody, you just try and smoke as much as you can before you leave. So I was kind of useless at the airport, just staggering to wherever we had to be. And it's only an hour flight, not even an hour flight. So I didn't really sleep it off. I still felt stoned when we got home. So I think the best part was once we were home, we were just kind of talking about the trip and everything. And Gemma just had a big grin on her face and said, and that's how you do a 30th birthday. So well done, my dear. Well done. We had a really, really good time. Excellent trip. Can't wait to do it again in 5 years. So much happened while we were gone. I don't even know where to start. I was connected. I mean, I was Facebooking and putting pictures on there and kind of checking Twitter a little bit. I knew that the 2020 interview with Bruce Jenner was happening on Friday, and I was really upset that I wasn't going to be in the midst of it firsthand, you know what I mean? But when I came back, I did all my research. I watched a lot of the clips and everything. And, you know, I don't know, while we were gone, Bruce Jenner became a trans goddess and he's being called a hero. So finally, the long-awaited interview with Diane Sawyer aired on 2020, and no stone was left unturned. The rumors were confirmed by Bruce himself. Twitter went bombastic. The internet almost broke. The ratings went through the roof for ABC. And the LGBT community praised the six-time 65-year-old Olympian for his biggest win ever. It took a lot of guts and a lot of courage and bravery in the face of the unknown. He didn't know how the public was going to react or how they were going to handle it. And so it was quite... I just thought it was really impressive of him to go ahead and do that, and that was huge. Maybe now he can kind of carry on his journey in peace, you know. Of course, I think the biggest shock had to be, though, when he announced that he was a Republican. In my opinion, I think after he does a little research, maybe that'll change. But the public's response, sort of mixed, but leaning towards a positive, really. Celebrities and fans tweeted messages of support. Bloggers blogged about it. Analysis were posted. But it was really good to see a lot of celebrities speak their sincerest wishes to Jenner. An Australian radio station, KIIS 106.5, started the hashtag #PaintYourNailsForBruce campaign and encouraged listeners to get a manicure and paint their nails in support of the Keeping Up with the Kardashians star. The station even set up a free nail painting booth at the Central Railway Station in Sydney on Sunday. Jenner reportedly feels relieved and grateful for the overwhelming support he's received since the interview. So that's just, I mean, really, it's amazing. Here's just a little tiny piece of what I found to be the most popular of the of it.
Yeah, why not? Talking about all this stuff. Yeah, let's take the damn ponytail out. A symbolic moment after 65 years. In a sense, we start again. Are you a woman?
Yes. For all intents and purposes, I am a woman. People look at me differently. They see you as this macho male, but my heart and my soul and everything that I do in life, it is part of me. That female side is part of me. That's who I am. I was not genetically born that way. As a doubt, have all the male parts and all that kind of stuff. So in a lot of ways we're different, okay? But we still identify as female. And that's very hard for Bruce Jenner to say. Because why? I don't want to disappoint.
I think that was the hardest thing to watch. It was really moving in a sense that, you know, he is, you know, known as a masculine Olympian, you know, 6-time gold medal winner, and to be sharing something so intimate, so private, and so scary for him. It was just really incredible to see him put it all out there like that. So, you know what, congratulations to you, Bruce. And I hope that this journey is everything that you want it to be. Yeah, I definitely think we can all be pretty proud of Bruce. He should be proud. I thought some of the articles that I read afterward about the support of his family, you know, we can knock them all we want because they're worthy of it. They've earned it. But to see them all come out, especially the boys from his previous marriages, I think they probably had the biggest adjustment. And I think that they're handling, everybody seems to be handling it really, really well, including Kris Jenner, who told Perez Hilton to fuck off and on Twitter the night of the interview. Way to go, Kris. Somebody needs to say it. God, he was accusing her of having no comment. And she tweeted back to him, fuck you, Perez. Nobody asked me for a comment. I'm sitting here watching the interview with them, so let's keep it real. So I say, bravo, Kris Jenner, putting Perez in his place. Excellent. So really, basically what we have here is a new trans hero. Perhaps Laverne Cox is passing the torch. I don't know. But I think it's great that we all kind of have a new hero, and we're going to probably follow along in the journey. That there still seems to be a lot of talk and buzz about a reality series about this journey that he's on. So so I guess we kind of get to be a part of it. I mean, he's still executing, he's enforcing his right to privacy by he's actually taking action against the New York Daily News that posted, or I guess took pictures with a long lens. You're not supposed to do that. And they caught him in a dress. And then they're selling the pictures to the highest bidder, the paparazzi. And New York Daily News bit. They sunk to a new level and they bit. And they, you know, I guess we're going to put the, I think they did. I don't even know if they did. I think they did put the pictures out there. But, you know, he's going to see them and he should. This is about what he wants you to know. This is all his journey and what he wants you to know. So, congratulations to you, Bruce. You truly are a hero.
Well, all the good men.
Well, you know what? The day has finally come. The Supreme Court has heard its final oral arguments on same-sex marriage, and that happened yesterday, in case you weren't aware. And that's big deal. That is a huge deal for all you guys that fight like Kate Kendall and on the steps of Supreme Court. You know, here's to you. Tuesday's arguments offered the first public indication of where the justices stand in the dispute over whether states can continue defining marriage as the union of a man and a woman, or whether the Constitution gives gay and lesbian couples the right to marry. In the court's last look at same-sex marriage in 2013, the justices struck down part of the federal anti-gay marriage law. Federal courts, with few exceptions, have relied on Justice Kennedy's opinion. The court divided 5-4 in that case, with the liberals joining Kennedy in the majority. Their question on Tuesday suggested that they would vote to extend same-sex marriage nationwide, while conservative justices' question and comments were much more skeptical. Justices Stephen Breyer and Sonia Sotomayor both said marriage was a fundamental right and the state would need a truly compelling reason to deny it to a class of people. 82-year-old Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said heterosexual couples would retain the same marriage benefits they currently have, whether or not same-sex couples could also marry. Marriage today is not what it was under the common law tradition, under the civil law tradition, said Ginsburg, when Justices Roberts and Kennedy began to fret about whether the court had a right to challenge centuries of tradition. Marriage was a relationship of a dominant male to a subordinate female, she explained. That ended as a result of this court's decision in 1982 when Louisiana's headmaster rule was struck down. Would that be a choice that the state should be allowed to have, to cling to a marriage the way it once was? No, replied John Birch, the somewhat chastised lawyer for the states who were seeking to preserve their ban on gay marriage. Birch was similarly eviscerated by Ginsburg when he tried to argue that the sole purpose of marriage was to ensure a stable relationship for procreation. Suppose a couple 70 years old comes in and they want to get married, remarked Ginsburg to laughter after a protracted debate over whether it was fair to ask couples if they wanted children before allowing them the wed. You don't have to ask them any questions. You know they're not going to have children. Conversely, she came to the rescue of a lawyer for the petitioners when he floundered on the question of whether states that ban gay marriage should have to recognize weddings carried out in other states. Would they be allowed to refuse recognition in other cases, such as where another state allowed marriages of children after puberty? Justice Alito wanted to know. I think the presumption would be in such a state that someone aged 13 can't consent, interjected Ginsburg helpfully. In the end, her bottom line, rejecting the notion that extending marriage rights would somehow weaken the institution, was persuasive enough that even Justice Roberts appeared sympathetic. Of all the incentives, all the benefits that marriage affords would still be available, said Ginsburg. So you're not taking away anything from heterosexual couples. They would still have the very same incentive to marry, all the benefits that come with marriage that they do now. So you know what, ladies and gentlemen, the notorious RBG has struck again. 82 years old, and she is rocking the vote. I am telling you. This woman never ceases to amaze me. We're very lucky to have her on the Supreme Court, honestly. You know what? In kind of sad news, this is really sad news. In Nepal, after a massive earthquake rocked and demolished areas, causing over 5,000 deaths, affecting 80,000 people, also causing an avalanche at Mount Everest, where Google executive Dan Friedenberg died. The one-time boyfriend of Chicago PD actress Sophia Bush was an avid adventurer. He was only 33 years old. Sophia wrote a touching message on her Instagram and appealed for donations through Friedenberg's newly established crowdfunding site to help those in Nepal. Today, I find myself attempting to pick up the pieces of my heart that have broken into such tiny shards. I'll likely never find them all. Today, I and so many of my loved ones lost an incredible friend. Dan Friedenberg was one of a kind, fearless, and funny. The One Tree Hill actress also urged people to hug their loved ones and donate to help victims in Nepal. As of Monday, over $27,000 have been raised in Dan's name. So some good's coming out of it. That's really, really rough. You know what? I have to say, well, in super creepy news, Dutch designer Mark Strukenboom has created a sex toy with a little something extra. Room for your cremated remains. That's right. You heard me. The idea is that having your dearly departed at hand will keep the spark going. The ashes of a loved one after their death would be put into an urn / dildo, which would be included in a memory box that Strukenboom calls 21 grams, in reference to the amount of weight a person loses after they die. I have no idea what this means. But apparently it's a dildo that you can put your loved one's cremated ashes in and basically bang yourself with. Along with the toy are a necklace and an amplifier for playing music that reminds you of your loved one as you screw your dildo. If that's not the creepiest news I have ever, ever read on a show, I don't know what is. You could probably keep that, Mr. Dutch designer Mark Strukenboom. I think we have an adequate amount of sex toys out there. And I think that when a loved one passes, the last thing you're thinking about is fucking them. So nice try on that one. Whew. In good news, Mad Men star Kit Williamson is engaged to his long-term partner, fellow actor John Halbach. Whew. I still can't get over that. Jesus, God. Kit, who played Ed Gifford on the series, which will soon come to an end, said that the couple had originally been content without tying the knot. We've been together for more than 8 years, Williamson said in a statement. We kind of resisted marriage at first because we were already committed to one another, but all the progress that's happened in the last few years and the likelihood of a favorable Supreme Court ruling in June has made us really think about what marriage means to us and our relationship. To deny our right to get married is to deny our relationship's validity. So good luck to you two, Kit and John. Also, you know what? I forgot to mention this, but I have to give a huge shout out for a happy 40th birthday to Kristen Baker, founder and CEO of Tello Films, the only membership-driven website bringing you total lesbian content anytime you want it. Congratulations, Kristen. Happy birthday from all of your biggest fans here at My Lesbian Radio. Thank you for all you do for our community, both in the States and now in the UK. And I say that because I know you guys know this. I mentioned this before, but I'm super happy to mention it again. Here's the thing. Planet London is pleased to announce that Tello Films will be distributing its web series She's in London, the first lesbian web series to shoot entirely on location in Soho, London, written by Katie Bennett-Hall, one half of the duo who brings you Planet London, the bi and lesbian website that keeps you in the loop on lady love in London. Producer Kat Holmes of Submerge and Stuart Dunlop, the director of Spark, Planet M Productions and Lemon Wedge in conjunction with Planet London will bring you She's in London. So we've got a big crowdfunding campaign that's going to start kicking off. It's going to kick off, actually, May 10th. We're looking to raise £2,500, and this will be in order to continue the series. There's enough money to get a couple of the episodes made, but we know that you're going to want more. So this crowdfunding is going to be really important, and you'll hear me talking about it a lot more. But this is just absolutely phenomenal. I said before, when Kristen was over here for Elfest, she brought roomies and hashtag for the El Cinema. And people got to watch the web series and learn more about Tello and realize that it's right at their fingertips. And basically, they can watch lesbian content and web series anytime they want for as little as $4.99 a month. And we had a great turnout for both screenings of Hashtag and Roomies. We had Caitlin Berg there, the star of both of them. And Kristen and Caitlin would get up and answer questions in the Q&A afterwards. And one of the most asked questions was, will we ever have a London-based lesbian web series? And you know what? I think everybody was really looking, you know, for answers. We really wanted to wanted it to happen, and now it is, thanks to Tello Films and Planet London. So you will hear me talking about this come May 10th, because it's really imperative that we raise this money, because we don't want to leave you hanging. We know you're going to want a couple of more, and we want to be able to bring them to you. So that is awesome, awesome news. Indeed it is. Let's see, what else is going on? Oh, Grand Marshal announcement, because we are slowly rolling into Pride season, so you're going to hear a lot of these. But Toronto native producer and Elton John AIDS Foundation chairman David Furnish will serve as the Grand Marshal of the 2015 Pride Toronto Parade on June 28th. So that should be great. Toronto is a fantastic city. They hosted World Pride before, but their regular Pride Fest in June, this June 28th, is going to be fantastic. I mean, I love the way the whole city gets involved, and that's something rare. So hopefully you get to be a part of that if you're up in Canada. I would definitely make it a point to try and get there. It's a good time. Oh, how I love Amy Schumer. Oh, and she's at it again. New video, a parody of One Direction's What Makes You Beautiful. This one is You Don't Need Any Makeup.
Girl, it ain't no lie. Just look deep into my eyes. You're perfect and I think you should know.
Oh man, this is the newest skewer from Amy Schumer. I don't think a week has gone by that I haven't had Amy Schumer news. She is everywhere right now. She is incredibly popular. She is a risky, risky female comedian. If you haven't watched Inside Amy Schumer on Comedy Central, please do yourself a favor. This one, she's kind of skewering One Direction in a video. Excellent. Girl, you don't need makeup.
Were so stubby and pale, just a little mascara. You're the female. Please listen, girl, what we're trying to say. Just get up an hour earlier, and you can make yourself much girlier.
Oh my God, she is just absolutely hilarious. She kills me. If you get a chance to Google Julia Louis-Dreyfus's last fuckable day, that is another fantastic video from Amy Schumer. Good stuff. Good stuff. A victory in South Carolina, in case you guys hadn't heard. Let's see, where is this? Oh yeah. South Carolina team Chase Culpepper and the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund fought hard to earn a major victory for transgender rights last week. Chase will be able to wear makeup in his driver's license photo after a legal dispute with the state. From day one, all I wanted was to get a driver's license that looks like me, and now I'll be able to do that. So congratulations to you, Chase, and to the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund. Whew. Oh, hey, Alabama. I don't know if you guys heard about this. This is pretty interesting. Kentrell Collins says that he has three strikes going against him. He's black, he's gay, and he lives in Mobile, Alabama. He's got a fourth strike, too. He almost always wears a sequin leotard when he performs with his dance group, made up of five gay, gender nonconforming dancers. On Wednesday night, the Oxygen Network will air the season premiere of a reality TV show that follows Collins and his dance troupe, The Prancing Elites. The 30-minute series, The Prancing Elites Project, offers an actual dose of reality during an era of broadcast television in which most unscripted reality TV shows feel very orchestrated. The network is calling the show a docuseries, though. Oh my goodness. This should be quite interesting. Makes me long for the Oxygen Network. Again, you know, we're getting there. We just were lucky enough to get the TLC network, which I'm thrilled because it airs a lot of Oprah Winfrey stuff, but it also airs Leah Remini's It's All Relative. And I don't know about you girls, but I have a massive girl crush on Leah Remini. I think she is just hilarious and gorgeous, and her whole family is like an extended family of mine. When I watch them together, I get homesick, but at the same time, I feel closer to my family when I watch hers. I actually tweeted that to her, and she wrote back and said, XOXO. So that's, I'm feeling pretty good about it. You know, I can't get over this Alabama thing. The Prancing Elites Project on the Oxygen Network. That is Wednesday night. So you guys, that's tonight. If anybody watches it, please, please email me at DeniseAndDonna@gmail.com and tell me what you thought of it. I hope I can see clips. There must be. There'll be video clips. I'll be able to watch video clips. But I'm really looking back. When you think about how far we've come, there are really so many series now that have to do with gay and trans. It's amazing to me. But just for that, I want to play this song for you, Kentrell Collins.
Smash it. take you out. That's right, put your pom-poms down, getting everybody fired up. Few times I've been around that track, so it's not just gonna happen like that. Cause there ain't no holler back, girl. Ain't no holler back, girl. A few times I've been around that track, so it's not just gonna happen like that. Cause there ain't no holler back, girl. Ain't no holler back, girl. Smash it.
Right, that's for you, Kentrell Collins, of the Prancing Elites Project. Congratulations. You know, by the way, I forgot to mention this. It is National Naked Gardening Day. Look it up. I'm not lying. I'm not. I just want you to, you know, if you saw your neighbor outside in the buff pruning roses or mowing their lawn or turning up dirt, whatever, not to be alarmed. It is National Naked Gardening Day. April 29th. Mark your calendars next year. I think we're on to something here. I didn't know about it, but I'm pleased. I'm pleased with it. I'm super excited. On a final note, I would like to extend my biggest congratulations to Lucy and Mandy Burton of the UK girl band Eek, who woke up Tuesday as a civilly partnered couple and ended the day as an officially legally wed married couple. Lots of love to you girls. You are the cherries in the cherry bakewell of life. You beautiful, beautiful ladies. And this one's for you.
You're insecure. Don't know what for. You're turning heads when you walk through the door. Don't need makeup to cover up. Being the way that you are. Everyone else in the room can see it. Everyone else but you. Baby, you light up my world like nobody else. The way that you lift your head gets me overwhelmed. But when you smile at the ground, it ain't hard to tell. You don't know. You don't know you're beautiful. If only you saw what I can see. You'll understand why. So desperate right now, I'm looking at you and I can't believe you don't know. Oh, oh, you don't know you're beautiful. Oh, oh, that's what makes you beautiful. So good, come on. Shy. Into the way when I look.
nobody else. The way that you flip your hair gets me overwhelmed. But when you smile at the ground, it ain't hard to tell.
So listen, we're going to wrap things up, but I just want to give a massive shout out to everybody that's made headlines in such a positive light, like Bruce Jenner, like Chase Culpepper in South Carolina, like Kristen Baker of Tello Films, like Planet London for making a new web series. You know, all of you guys, everybody contributes in their own way. And when it's a positive thing, it's a beautiful thing. So this one goes out to you. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back soon. If you need me, I'm on Twitter at Lesbian Lounge. You can email me at deniseanddonna@gmail.com. We're at mylesbianradio.podbean.com. We've got best of sound clips on soundcloud.com/mylesbianradio. We are broadcasting from rainbowradio.fm every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. We're on iTunes under Really Wow Productions, and we are now available on Stitcher at Lesbian Lounge. And I appreciate each and every one of you. Here you go.
Like a chest of hidden gold, shimmers in the depths below. We are the treasures that they hide. Like the sun, it sets the night, bursting through a darkened sky. We are soldiers of the light, and we will glow. They see us burn.
across a thousand miles. We are brighter, the flame will never die. Let's show them how we light up tonight. Oh, you and I, we're so